Good morning. This morning we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 21, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. We are in this sermon series that's entitled Nobody's in the Bible. We've been having conversations with lesser known characters, mainly in the Old Testament. Today we're going to talk about Naboth in 1 Kings chapter 21. Will you pray with me, please? Father, as we open your word, we pray that you'll open up our hearts, our minds, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will direct with wisdom, with piercing of our hearts. I pray, Father, that your word will speak boldly. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. One of the, I'm an eighth Irish, so that's great, right? I have some anger issues. And this passage makes my blood boil. Today's passage makes me really angry. I need to set up the story with an understanding of how the world worked in 860 BC. The people of Israel were set free by God through Moses from Egypt, where they were slaves, right? While they were slaves, they had no rights, they had no property, and they had no justice. And God called the people out of Egypt and sent them on this journey to a new land where they would have rights, where they would have property, and where justice would be served. The rules that God set in place would create a just society. Land ownership became the foundation of a person's right and wealth. Every family was given land in Canaan, except for the Levites, who were given a provision. But every family was given land. If your life got so bad that you had to sell your land to survive, God made a way for justice to prevail. In the year of Jubilee, you would get your land back to your family for generations to come. Do you have an understanding of how awesome of a society that was? When you're a slave, you own nothing. Now you're given land. You always stay in your family. And therefore, land ownership in 860 BC is foundational to understanding the injustice of today's passage. Let's begin reading in 1 Kings chapter 21, the first three verses. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it's close to my palace. I will, in exchange, give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I'll pay you whatever it's worth." Now, y'all remember Ahab, right? We've talked about Ahab three times throughout this sermon series as a very controversial king in Israel, a horrible, horrible man, the most evil of all the kings to rule Israel. This is the same guy who tried to get Jehoshaphat killed in last week's story, remember? He made him dress up as king as he pretended to be somebody else. Ahab wants a vegetable garden next to his vacation house. Yes, my friends, this palace in Jezreel is his vacation home. And listen to Naboth's response. He says in verse 3, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my father." forbid. To sell his family's land would be a very selfish move, would cut off generations, kids, grandkids from their inheritance. Generations would suffer if he made this deal. I'm sorry, Ahab, but that's not in line with the society that God created. Lord, forbid this happens. Now watch how Ahab responds. So Ahab went home. He was sullen and angry because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, I will not give the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay on his bed sulking, and he refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and said, why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat? And he answered, because I said to Naboth, give me your vineyard, and I was even going to give him everything he wanted. Okay, I made that part up. But he said, I'm not going to give it to you. Oh, poor Ahab. He wanted a vegetable garden next to his vacation home. It's awful. I know toddlers who behave better. Come on. Ahab is the king of Israel and the richest man in the land. He has a vacation home, along with his regular palace in Samaria. The dude doesn't need new land to have a little vegetable garden. Just plant one on your own land, Ahab. So he whines and he cries and he pouts. He won't give it to me. But Jezebel, she has a plan. Jezebel, his wife, said, is this how you act as king of Israel? We talked in Sunday school about how wise women are, right? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I will give you the land. I will get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Oh, Jezebel has a plan. This is what she does. She sends a letter in Ahab's signature to the town officials to proclaim a fast. Now, usually towns proclaim this kind of fast if there's some some very heinous sin that is happening in the town that needs to be uncovered. Someone's sin is causing a problem for the city, and they got to get to the bottom of it. So she sends this letter to proclaim a fast, and she goes further. She orders the town officials to hire two witnesses to tell lies about Naboth, that he cursed God and king. So the town officials had this feast at the end of the fast, set Naboth at the head of the table, and put two witnesses on each side. And they accused Naboth of cursing God and king. According to the law, Naboth's actions are punishable by death. The people of the city take Naboth outside the city gates along with his children, and they stoned Naboth to death. For a garden. Look at verse 15. As soon as word got back to Jezebel that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, get up and take possessions of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite that he refused to sell to you. He is no longer alive, but is dead. When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Well, that worked out in Ahab's favor, right? Nobody owns the vineyard anymore. Now it's the property of the state. Ahab and Jezebel robbed Naboth, his sons, and generations of the land that Naboth owned because Ahab pouted and went in a vegetable garden. And I'm speechless. What an awful and heartless thing to do. This morning, I want to spend the rest of our time discussing how God responds to injustice. And he does. He responds to this injustice. We need to start with verse 17 because the prophet has a little bit something to say. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he's gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what God says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. And Ahab said to Elijah, so you found me, my enemy. I have found you, he answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. I am going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin. And that's what I'm talking about, God. Woo! Gonna bring that justice. Write this down. God is just. Fortunately for us, it is never on our terms or our timeline, right? But God is just. He's a righteous judge who sometimes brings judgment in our time, but judgment is promised to happen. In the Old Testament, God promises in Psalm 37, for the Lord loves the just, will not forsake his faithful one. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. And in the New Testament, Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you that he will see that they get justice and quickly. Ahab will get to receive everything that Naboth received. He will die. His descendants will not inherit the throne. God is just, and sometimes you get to see that justice prevail. In 1984, James Ely was convicted in a 1982 brutal murder of a mother, 33-year-old Christine Parker, her two children, and one grandchild. 2 years later, the Illinois court overturned the conviction, even as justices acknowledged Ely was most certainly guilty. They said the police had arrested him without probable cause, conducted an illegal search, and had to throw out all of the evidence. What a sad story of injustice. But 10 years later, Ely was arrested for the murder of another woman, a manager of a Burger King where he worked, and this time, it stuck, and he was sentenced to life in prison. And justice was served. God is just, and we are promised that justice will be served. And at the end of the time, we will all stand before that righteous judge, and justice will be served. I want you to write this down as well. That God is with you and your injustice. If you've experienced injustice, maybe you have the testimony to share that God is remembers us in our times that are very difficult. I mean, this Naboth was a nobody, right? He was a nobody in the Bible, but we don't know anything about this guy. But God knew him, and God was with him through this horrible experience all the way to death. God stood up for his injustice. God was with him. I'm reminded of Isaiah's encouragement to Israel through their dark times in Isaiah 41. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Or the encouragement found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. God is with you. Once upon a time, the president of Anheuser-Busch went over to the Vatican for a private audience with the Pope. The meeting went something like this. Holy Father, we prepare to make a donation of $10 million to the church. If you will replace Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread with Give Us This Day Our Daily Beer. The Pope replied, I'm afraid that cannot happen. Well, the president said, could you do it for more money? Maybe $25 million. And the Pope said, no, you cannot buy this. Holy Father, he said, I give you my final offer. Change bread to beer, and I will write you a check for $100 million. And the Pope replied, how firm is our contract with Pillsbury? I'm sorry, that was dumb. God isn't going to change for any amount of money. God will not be swayed away from being just. He is and always will be with you. Now, this final thought is kind of hard to swallow because the story doesn't end here. Let's read on. Verse 27, when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, he put on sackcloth, and he fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but on his house in the days of his son. And write this down. It's hard to swallow, but God is love. I mean, I know it. You know it. But it's a hard pill to swallow when someone as awful as King Ahab gets off the hook because God forgave him. I struggle with the fairness of the situation, right? But fairness always has a standard. Did you hear that? Fairness always has a standard. For example, if you stole this pen from me, I can say that's not fair because it's my pen. And stealing is rooted in the law, right? The social and societal law states that it's wrong to steal. But if I were to forgive you and let you keep the pen, then it's fair again, because I'm the owner of the pen. If you were to recklessly run over my mailbox, it's not fair, right? But it's not fair to me, because it's my mailbox. I'd have to decide what would be fair. If I choose to sue you, that's fair. If I choose to forgive you, that's fair. If I choose to fix the mailbox and your car, that's fair because it's my mailbox. In Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 4, Jesus tells them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and you loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Oh, we love this story, right? Because we picture this little lost sheep who wandered off innocently. He's scared for his life, and here comes a powerful shepherd to the rescue. However, you don't know the whole story. Luke doesn't fill you in on the details of this parable. The sheep was actually the leader of all the sheep. He didn't leave because he was lost. He left because he had tricked all the other sheep into giving them all their money. And he promised them, if you give me all your money, I'm going to go after that coyote and kill the one who terrorizes our pen. But it was all a ruse. And he went out and spent all that money, and he left the sheep to die. Would the shepherd still go after the sheep? Would Jesus have the right to go after that kind of sheep? We have to stand up to the injustices in this world. There are too many Ahabs and corrupted sheep leaders who are taking advantage of our neighbors. But we also can't get so caught up in judgment that we forget about God's justice. We can't get so caught up in God's judgment that we forget about God's justice. I remind you, we will all stand before God, and we will be judged for everything that we've done here on earth. And when I gather around this table, I'm reminded that according to God's justice, His Son will stand up for me. His blood will cover me. And God will look at me and welcome me in. It's not fair. Or is it? God sent His only Son for the whole world. The Ahabs, the Naboths, the Elijahs. He sent His Son for the whole world. God's justice is righteous. And we celebrate around the table a God who not only sees our sin, but He forgives and He repairs. Let's pray. Father, I am so very thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ. For when I was unjust, when I was a sinner, when I made the mistakes that hurt others, Lord, You come and repair. You come and forgive. And I'm grateful for that. Lord, there's many of us today who've been hurt by injustice. Help us, Lord. Remind us that You are here with us. Remind us, Lord, that You forgive. And help us through these hard times. Father, bless this time as we gather around the table to celebrate and honor You and to reflect. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.